Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
If when Jesus was in Jerusalem and he would know of all the crime that was widespread in that holy city to the proportion that we're talking about, I wonder, would Jesus have stood in the temple and exegeted Leviticus? Or would he have spoken truth into power?
The truth is, we live in a sex-saturated society. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Raising Lambs Among Wolves, and shines a light on the sexual confusion that's being thrust on our children and how you can push back against the enemy's schemes. You don't want to miss this, so stay with us. Before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a timely resource from Dr. Young called Healing Broken America. This powerful book identifies the five areas where America has lost its way and offers practical biblical remedies to these vital issues. We'll send you Dr. Young's book as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy of Healing Broken America when you give, and discover how you can be a catalyst for the revival, renewal, and refreshment of our nation. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Raising Lambs Among Wolves.
Someone said, it's against the law to shout fire in a crowded theater. And I added, you're absolutely right, but if there is a fire in the theater, somebody needs to shout. I redefined politics in its purest sense, if you'll remember. Mr. Webster talks about it, covering the whole complex of relationships between human beings who live in a society. That's a pure definition. And on that basis, Jesus was in the relationship business. Right relationship with God, right relationship with ourselves, and right relationship with others. Therefore, Jesus was a great politician. We're not going to live here forever. And I don't mean to say, look how pious the pastor is. But I want to tell you, I sought as best I could the mind of Jesus Christ. And I just thought when Jesus was in the temple in Jerusalem, and the temple, you remember, in a theocracy composed of the political parties blended with religion, he saw the people being exploited in the selling of goods and animals, exchange of money, and on two occasions, he went in the citadel of religious and political power, took a whip, overturned the tables, and ran the rascals out on two occasions. And I just wondered if when Jesus was in Jerusalem, and he would know of all the crime that was widespread in that holy city to the proportion that we're talking about, I wonder, would Jesus have stood in the temple and exegeted Leviticus, or would he have spoken truth into power? I don't have any doubt he would have spoken truth into power. Could we kneel together? Father, we're not on our knees just because it's the thing to do, but we discovered that we stand taller in the world as we stand on our knees. I pray, O Lord, that you will bring healing to our city, to our nation, and to our world. And we know, dear Heavenly Father, because you gave us your Son, who gave us a prescription for peace and life and well-being here and forever. And Lord, we just pray there will be a turning to him like this world has never seen before. Lord, we are continuing in barracuda waters today as we seek to address from your book, from your word, a part of the wokeness that is godlessness. You speak. Let me get out of the way is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Vance Packard, one of our greatest sociologists, in a book he penned, we are in the middle of a sexual wilderness. Some of his scholarly friends said, why did you lose the term wilderness? Why didn't you use the word revolution? And this sociologist said, I'll tell you exactly why. In a revolution, their goals, their aims, their desires, their ambition, there's a reason. But he said in a wilderness, like a sexual wilderness, said, you're lost. You have no sense of direction. Things are changing all around you, and you don't know where you're going and where the end will be. Therefore, he said, accurately so, we are in a sexual wilderness. Big question. In the whole area of sexuality, where there's so much confusion, and all of us have been caught up in it. Every single person here in different stages of life. So let me say, if I ask anyone to stand up who has been absolutely pure in their thoughts, Jesus said, if you commit porneia, adultery in your heart, it is as if you had committed. If anybody here is absolutely perfectly pure all the way through your life and all your sexual questions, you've had all of them answered, I'm not going to ask you to stand. Because if there is such an individual on this planet, if they stood, they would just whew, go right straight into heaven. So let's start right there and understand that all of us have had and continue to have conflicting views, lifestyles, actions in the whole area of sex. Don't even nod your head. I think we agree on that. A counselor said that somebody walks in for counseling, you know two things. They have questions about God or about sex or about God. When I was a youngster, I don't remember the exact age, very young, I had female cousins, I had female friends in our neighborhood, and I played dolls with them. They'd have dress-up day, I'd put on lipstick, I'd put on a dress and walk in with my cousins and everybody would laugh. I did this on many, many occasions. I've even played paper dolls. Yeah, when I was a kid. My wife, Lisa, brought up in a family with three brothers. She played all the sports with them. And she, one Christmas, her folks took her to the mall. She sat in the lap of Santa Claus. And before Santa could say, little girl, what do you want for Christmas? She said, I don't want any more dolls. She said, I want a football uniform like Bart Starr wears. For Christmas, her parents very wisely gave us her a football uniform with shoulder pads so she could fight with her brothers and all in the neighborhood. Now, run the clock forward, and if her folks and my folks were modern, they would be woke. They would think maybe Edwin should be Edwina. And maybe Lisa should be Lewis. And then if we had gone to school or kindergarten, and that would be enforced there in order to be woke and politically correct and up to speed with modern psychology, those identities would be encouraged and enforced and say, I want you to treat Edwina and Lewis just like everybody else. It's very important. But thank God, we did not come up in that era. Many of you could share different kind of stories. Because my mom and dad and her mom and dad, they didn't know probably the term worldview. But they had a worldview that God was the creator. They had a worldview he created man and woman in his image. They had a worldview of marriage and Adam and Eve, and he performed that first ceremony, leave, cleave, one flesh, no shame. And the worldview is that God progressively revealed himself all the way through the Old Testament until God's peculiar people got so far away from him. At the end of the book of Judges, you read a devastating verse. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes because there was no king, no principles, no valid worldview. And the result was hundreds of years of might make rights and rebellion and decadence. And the scripture was silent until in the fullness of time, God visited this earth in human flesh and came Jesus, who died so that you and I may have an entree to God when we repent and confess sin and ask him to run our life as the commander-in-chief of you and me. And we live in that expectancy that the day will come that as God brought history into being, he will bring down the curtain of history and all who are in Christ will graduate to heaven, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth on this pristine world in which we now live. that, in broad summary, is a Judeo-Christian worldview. And when you depart from that, you have left a valid life that God has given to every person, a life that is worth living. In Matthew 18, they asked Jesus a very important question. Verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" In other words, who is number one? Who is the most important entity on this earth, right? Who's the greatest? Who's the most important? Who is the most valuable? Who has the highest priority of any living thing in this world? That's what they asked Jesus. He answered, "Bring a child to me." And he set a child down before him. And Jesus said, looking at the little child, I believe, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And then he adds, "Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble," and the word stumble there is scandalon, "anyone who deceives, anyone who confuses, anyone who lies to, anyone who takes advantage of a child," says Jesus, "it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." And then Jesus says, "Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks." In other words, the world has stumbling blocks, especially situated so children will stumble over them. "For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to that man or that woman through whom the stumbling block comes." Did you listen and get that, what Jesus said about children? And we live, ladies and gentlemen, in a culture, in a world where children have stumbling blocks everywhere they turn. A good friend of mine, Erwin Lutzer, who was pastor in Moody, who I think is the best biblical authority on understanding our woke culture and putting it in a biblical context. He said a woman came up to him after church and said, "Pastor, I gave my 13-year-old daughter a cell phone when she was 13. And she said, I didn't know it was like giving her her first dose of heroin. That cell phone, those tablets, those computers that our children have, that is the instrument in this world that primarily educates them, gives them understanding of their emotions, of their heart, and the agenda for life." Now, you can debate that, but you'll be 100% wrong. That's this generation. Our children get their entertainment there. They get their information there. And at very early ages, most of them have seen, heard, experienced sexuality in how many countless forms. And they were not ready for this. They were not ready. Dr. Ben Carson, close friend and brother of mine, as most of you know, one of the finest brain surgeons who ever lived. He operated primarily on children, Johns Hopkins. He explained to me about the brain. He talked about the legalization of marijuana. It sounds so great. He says, what happens with the legalization of marijuana to children and young people's brain is absolutely tragic. IQ, sexual prowess, creativity, all of it gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, because we need to know that the white gray matter and the gray matter, this white and gray matter that goes into the brain, it develops slowly through children, from birth, slowly through children. And God, in his great wisdom of creation, sees that we do not develop into puberty, until it comes time. Hair under your arms, beard, periods for females. What a tough time of transition when all of these hormones come upon you and come upon our children. At the same time, they're viewing all of this that will scar them sexually for the rest of their lives.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
1 Corinthians 11:13. But now abide in faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these, ahead of everything else, is love. Have you ever eaten a bread and jelly sandwich? Jelly in the middle and bread on each side? If you just ate the bread without the jelly, it would probably be a little dry and tasteless. By the same token, if you just ate the jelly, it might be delicious initially, but soon you decide it was just too sweet, right? That's what I think Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Chapter 12 tells us about the spiritual gifts every Christian receives. And chapter 14 tells us how to use these gifts to edify, to magnify, to build up his church. In between is chapter 13. That beautiful portrait of love. What Paul is saying is that you can have spiritual gifts, but unless they're exercised in an atmosphere of real agape, that sacrificial love, they can be unappealing as bread without jelly. Love also is meant to be released as it flows through your life or my life. We can't keep it to ourselves, can we? We're to love others as God loved us, with an unstoppable, unquenchable love. And he just keeps on loving us unconditionally. 1 Corinthians 13, read it, is the jelly between two pieces of bread that tells us clearly what love is all about.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful book by Dr. Young. It's called Healing Broken America. In it, Dr. Young clearly defines the five areas where America has lost its way and offers some common sense, biblically based remedies for bringing a nation back from the brink. This timely resource is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Healing Broken America when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for joining us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young shows you that the church is society's last front for our nation's sexual sanity.